Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Mike, Shep, Pete, thank you across the way. Focus your updates. An hour left to play with to 9 a.m. Eastern time, Taz. We go a lot of football here on this Monday morning. NFL and the college variety. Let's kick off this hour with the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Saints don't score a TD, but still defeat the Cowboys 12-10.
Yes. Well said by Zach there.
Awesome job.
12-10, the final out of New Orleans last night in the Sunday night game, Taz. Not a lot of fireworks, just one touchdown on the night. That was a one-yard touchdown plunge by Ezekiel Elliott that gave them a 10-9 lead at that stage. The Saints answered right back with a long 9 minutes field goal scoring drive that ended up, I believe, what, at the 9-yard line for the Cowboys. They end up kicking a 26-yard field goal to give them a lead 12-10 and hold on from there. That Saints defense, talking about picking up the slack, you know, Von Bell, they turned the Cowboys over on three occasions, two fumble recoveries and an interception on the final play of the game, a toss by Dak Prescott, final Hail Mary throw. The Saints defense, they were great last week in Seattle, great last night up in against the Cowboys. Maybe this is going to be one of those years, Taz. We talked about New Orleans, you know, kind of ticked off about the loss in the NFC Championship game. They're not going away quietly, even with the loss of Breeze, other aspects of the team. And we said at the time, if there was one team that could deal with that kind of injury, it would be New Orleans because of what they have, the playmakers they have in Kamara and Thomas offensively. They could run it. And certainly the way, as well as the defense has played and played in the second half last year. And you know what? They've done just that. Two wins without Drew Brees.
Yeah, that's very impressive, that Teddy Bridgewater. And it's nice to see that he's able to hold it down there for the New Orleans Saints. And they're tough as hell in that Superdome for sure. And they got another very winnable game, Moose, coming up this coming week against the Buccaneers. Even though the Bucs looked great yesterday on the road, different story now. You're playing the Saints team, you know, and you're playing them in that building. And that's what's happening next week. So, you know, and I mentioned it earlier, you know, Drew Brees on the sideline during this game that we saw yesterday against the Cowboys. I mean, he looks, I mean, he's not in his gear. Obviously, he's got his thumb all taped up, wrapped up, and he's doing like his, he was on the sideline watching the game, doing his little physical therapy stuff with his moving his thumb to the left, to the right, up, down, just to get them little muscles working again in there, because he just had surgery recently on that thing. So his eyes, looking at that field, man, he looks like he is so, he can't wait to get back on that field, Drew Brees. So if you're a Saints fan, you're sitting 3-1 right now. You got Teddy Bridgewater doing the right thing for you. You know, you got Ingram, he's Gonski. You got Kamara, who, you know, didn't play amazing yesterday. But, you know, at any time, Moose, this guy can explode. Man, you got a good defense, dude. Like, you know, and next thing you know, you're going to have Breeze back. They're going to be okay.
Yeah, that's the way it looks like right now, Taz. And that, you know, the championship door, they're looking to get themselves back to a Super Bowl and win a title. Breeze isn't getting any younger. He's getting older. And you need a Bridgewater, who I thought wasn't great last night, but he didn't have to be. And the other faces, I mean, when you go up to Seattle last week, Taz, and get an offensive, defensive, and special teams touchdown, you're going to win that game. And last night, with how well that defense played, they held to Elliott the lowest yards on the ground for him in the last 34 games.
Yeah.
They shut him down.
They absolutely shut him down. And Prescott, you know, no touchdowns, one interception, struggled. Yeah, and again, it's that defense. And they had him locked in. And I'll tell you, man, it's impressive. Everybody panicked. You know, once Breeze went down and out, and that he's going to be getting the thumb and all that stuff. But, man, I'll tell you what, they have responded well. You got to respect it. They got a real diehard fan base, the New Orleans Saints does. So, you know, that Who Dat Nation has got to be super pumped.
Oh, they were partying last night. Here's Bridgewater after the victory and beating Dallas.
We just have to lock in and just do what we do best, and that's play Saints football. You know, we can't think too much. I think oftentimes when we're thinking too much, that's when, you know, penalties happen. So we just play fast, play with urgency, and play with some tempo. And it starts with me. And I'm going to continue to challenge these guys as the weeks go on and challenge myself to play with more sense of urgency and more tempo.
Yeah, and there's no better chewer of a piece of gum than Jason Garrett or clapping those hands. Here's Garrett after the Cowboy loss.
Yeah, one of the best things we've done here the first 3 weeks is convert third downs, and we weren't quite as good on that tonight. And obviously we didn't run the ball as consistently and as effectively as we would have wanted to in this game. So, you know, that's really what we've been able to do up to this point.
Yeah, and well, not last night.
Right.
Not against that defense.
No, and the thing, too, is, you know, time possession-wise, the Saints, they outdid the Cowboys. First down-wise, they outdid the Cowboys. This is why they won the game. But, like, you can't, you know, you got a guy like Zeke Elliott running the football on a good offensive line. I don't care if you're on the road or not. You got to eat up some time possession. You got arguably the best running back in the league on your team.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you have? How many yards here? 35 yards.
Yeah, Taz, I'll tell you, Cowboys offensive line got pushed around.
Last night they lost the
point of attack.
Yeah.
And usually you don't see that about the Cowboys offensive line. Usually they're the ones that are pushing guys around. Last night, how many times you see Ezekiel get the football and there was a guy in the backfield in his face or, you know, the pressure up the middle or he was getting hit right before he hit the line of scrimmage. Give the Saints defensive line credit
and
that entire team, Taz, because it's almost like they all looked at it as a challenge. Well, our quarterback's out. Everyone's going to write us off. And every other aspect level of their play is picked up. It really has. They've been great.
Yeah, they have been.
All right, Number two.
Yep.
Number two.
Chiefs and Patriots move to 4-0.
They do. We spent a lot of time talking about the Bills and Pats game earlier on. Obviously, Taz, huge Bills fan, disappointment, 16-10 loss up in Orchard Park. The videos before the game were just amazing from the parking lot. A buddy of mine was up there. The graphic pictures, you can't throw them. It's just disturbing. A couple of them were disturbing, and I'm not going to share that out there. But yeah. The Bills fan were ready to celebrate. Taz, unfortunately, didn't go their way. Defense was the key. Both teams. Pat's defense played well. Bill's defense was fantastic. They really shut Brady down in that Patriot offense. But the big key was when Josh Allen, who struggled throwing three interceptions, but he gets knocked out of the game due to a nasty hit by Jones, the defensive back of the Pats. He doesn't return. Barkley finishes that game. It ends up being a Patriots 16-10 win.
Yeah, tough one for me because I had a dog in a fight here in this one, and I am not a Patriots fan one iota. And man, I thought we had a chance here to get before this game started. Man, we got a good shot to win this game. The Pats are a little banged up. You know what I mean? Edelman's not 100%. Hightower didn't play. They're excellent linebacker. But yet their defense is still phenomenal, being the Patriots. You know, we got a strong defense. Let's get after Tom Brady. And you know what? They did. I mean, Tom Brady did not have a great day. I mean, that offense did not have a great day for the Pats. And that's because of the defense. But we had the Bills had many opportunities to take the lead in this game, and it just didn't happen. I believe, actually, unless I'm pretty sure on the stat, that yesterday was the first time this year, I believe, an offensive touchdown was scored against the Patriots that was done by the Bills. So that's, I guess, impressive. I would have rather to win, but and my quarterback not to have being concussion protocol right now, but... You know, just that I think Tom Brady did not have the type of game he normally has, but he did enough to win the game, and his defense played great, as did the Bills' defense. Yeah, it was tough. It's a tough game to watch. It was that play we talked about where Gene Steratore broke it down later on in the game, where it was an interception that led to the Pats had an interception that led to a field goal. Okay, which should not have been an interception because the ball was juggled while hitting an offensive player in Zay Jones while Zay Jones was out of bounds. So it should have been a complete pass by Josh Allen, but that wasn't the case. No matter what, they lost the game to the Bills, and the Pats go to 4-0. So
they do, as do the Kansas City Chiefs out in Detroit, as they take care of business against the Lions, a game that the Lions, from the large stretches of the game, were the better football team. But unfortunately for them, Taz, sloppy play. A fumble that gets taken back 100 yards the other way for a touchdown as they're going in. Inability to finish off drives, settling for field. I mean, The Lions, though, watching that game, they were the better team. I'll give Patricia credit. They looked like they looked lost a year ago.
Yeah.
He's gotten his guys in there. Give Stafford credit. He was questionable going in. He's dealing with, I believe, an ankle and hip issue. He played, was brilliant, as we chatted about earlier on in the show. The Lions are going to look at that game film and going to look at this game and say, we let this one get away. This is one that we got to... And that's the second time this season. Now, they blow that huge lead week one against Arizona, a game that ends up in a tie, right?
Yeah.
That should have been a victory for the Lions. And then you look at yesterday... At home against Kansas City, they were nearly a touchdown, you know, six and a half, 7 point underdog going into the game. They were better. They were the better team. They watch that game film. They're going to say, we should have won this football game, and they're right.
There's no doubt. I think you bring up a good point about Matt Patricia because, you know, it seemed like yesterday we were ripping him, how bad his team looked and how bad of a manager he is of his players and all this jazz. Man, he's turned that thing around. I got a funny feeling Matt Patricia is going to be a keeper for a long time in the Motor City. Even though they lost this game to the points you're making, 34-30 to the Chiefs, man, the Chiefs, the vibe throughout this game was that they were going to lose this game. For me, as I watched it, Matt Stafford just played great. He really did. Kerryon Johnson ran the ball over 120 yards running the ball, played awesome. The offensive line, talk about point of attack, they set a tone, the Lions did, on that old line against that talented D-line. They don't have a super talented defense, but the defensive line is pretty good. They have some speed guys, the Chiefs do, and they were shut down for the most part throughout the game by the Detroit Lions. But at the end of the day, what matters? Who gets the win? And on the road, you know, the Chiefs get the victory. So
oh, they do, yeah. Right, as they get themselves to 4-0.
Number three.
Major League Baseball playoffs are set.
They are, Taz, American League and the National League, as yesterday was game 162 across Major League Baseball with all the games getting going at 3 o'clock. So the wild card games are set Tuesday and Wednesday night. Tuesday night, it's going to be the National League game. The Nats, with Max Scherzer on the mound, they're going to be entertaining the Milwaukee Brewers. And then in the American League, it's going to be the Oakland Athletics. Out in Oakland, entertaining the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah.
So those are the two wild card games, and then the rest of the playoffs will get set, get going on Thursday and Friday. The Dodgers will host the wild card team winner in the National League, Braves and Cardinals, and then on Friday, the Yankees playing host to the Twins, and the Astros awaiting the wild card winner.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Yeah, this is for those casual baseball fans. This is when you want to watch baseball. This is the time to watch baseball. Even though this week I got to. Tell you, it has nothing to do with baseball. It's going to be a big pro wrestling week. So I know a lot of people listen to this show, yeah. Wrestling fans, and you got a lot of stuff happening this week. So I'd be interested to see. I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to really affect the baseball ratings, but it could. Plus, there's you know, AEW debuting this week. SmackDown on Fox is debuting this week. There's a lot of NXT going live for 2 hours. A lot of wrestling content. But I'm just thinking about, wow, you know, people listen to this show. You know, maybe they're casual baseball fans. Now's the time to watch the postseason. You know, with these two wild card games to start off, the Brewers and the Nats and the Rays and the Oakland A's. But you might be watching wrestling. I don't know.
No, so. You could be. You're right. It is yeah. A huge week. Yeah. There's no doubt
big,
about
big
it.
Week,
I
yeah.
mean, it's and baseball's probably like we can't even catch a break.
I know, right?
Right as their postseason does get going, and it should be an interesting playoffs. And we'll cover it obviously soup to nuts here on Taz and the Moose. Throughout the course of the postseason, but always enjoy when October playoff baseball does come around, Taz. And you know, the Astros, the Yankees, and the American League are obviously your favorites. You look at the Dodgers, the way the Braves have played. You know, those are, and clearly, those are your favorites right now as well. The Cardinals played very, very well, too, down the stretch of the season. And I think you got to give... One team I'm stunned that's there, Taz, is the Milwaukee Brewers. To lose a player of Yelich's quality,
yeah,
and the reigning MVP, yeah. Taz, and to still win, and not just win, but their numbers without him in the lineup this year, I think they were like 19 or 20 games over 500.
Jeez.
I mean, it's remarkable what they did to lose that caliber of player out of your lineup and still find a way into the postseason. Got it, regardless of what happens in that game against the Nats, because they're going to be facing Scherzer, give that team a lot of credit for finding a way to get themselves into a wild card.
I like their chances because everything you just laid out, I mean, they really ought to do that without Yelich. I mean, like... And they, it's insane. It's insane. Look, both wild card games can be real good. Yeah, sure. I wish my Mets were in this, but that ship has sailed.
Well, they closed it out with a walk off victory yesterday against the Braves. Right. Dom Smith.
Well, that's right. Big Dom Smith. The whole story has been about Alonzo, 53.
Yeah, 53 home runs.
There you go. A side note, nothing to do with the three. I wanted to ask you. We didn't get to it earlier, but I want to ask you because you're close to the program. You do work with them, Rutgers. So,
yes.
Chris Ash gone as the head coach.
Correct.
You know, the scuttlebutt, and what a lot of people are talking about.
Is that Greg Schiano is going to come back.
Well, I want to get your breakdown on
that. Yeah, I've heard that from a number of people over the last couple weeks that he's the favorite to come back. Now, he's going to cost you a lot of money. You know, they're paying Chris Ash $7.5 million buyout. And the rest of his salary for the rest of this year, I think it's a tad under $9 million to go away. Now, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot, man.
It's a lot of money. Now, Rutgers is in the Big Ten, but they're not Michigan. They're not Ohio State. They're not Alabama. They're not Clemson, right? And they've really struggled in the Big Ten Conference, Taz. And really, the way that they've struggled is they have not really been able to compete up front. When they go up against Ohio State, Iowa, Michigan State, Penn State, They get beat at the point of attack. The offensive and defensive line really, really struggle. So they can't really control the game. They can't really do all that much because of the guys up front. Yeah, do I think it would work bringing Schiano back? Yeah. I mean, I think it would work.
He's chop the wood. Remember, chop wood.
Yeah, chop wood. Chop Taz, wood. He's going to cost you a pretty penny.
A lot of money, yeah.
He's not now. He's not coming back for $1 million a year.
No.
Greg Schiano is going to cost you a lot of money. Yeah. And there was... We talked to Brett McMurphy a while back. Remember Stadium? Yeah. I forget what story. What story? It was a college football story that he broke that we were talking about. I think the Ohio State scandal. The Ohio State scandal.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
So he had a report, and I was unaware of it. Yeah. Bogus told me about it, that the Scarlet Knights had basically contacted three guys to gauge their interest over the last 2 weeks. To see if they'd be interested in the job. Greg Schiano being one.
Right.
Jim Levitt.
Yep.
Remember South Florida?
Yep, remember. Yep,
yeah.
Yep,
and then the third being Butch Jones.
Yeah, wow.
So, but yeah, don't you think Schiano coming back to Rutgers would work?
I think it'd be great for their program for sure. I mean, people still think of him as, forget about the Buccaneers and all that stuff. Everything done what was that, Michigan too?
Ohio State.
It was one of those
Big
Urban
Tens. Yeah, Urban Meyer's.
And then with the Pats too. Yeah, no, when I think of Schiano, I think of him with that Rutgers program. And I think now, correct me if I'm wrong, Nunzio Campanelli, the tight ends coach, is the interim head coach.
Correct.
Right. So
family of coaches.
Yes, that's right.
His brother is the linebackers coach at Michigan.
Oh, I didn't know who's at Michigan, his brother. Okay.
Yeah, linebacker or secondary coach at Michigan.
Mm.
Yeah. His brother.
Now, he played over at Montclair State with Small-Time Jones there, small-time football program, but he's a good coach. Wasn't he the guy coaching at a high school program
Bergen
in Jersey?
Bergen
Catholic, BC. Bergen Catholic, big-time
correct.
Football.
Yeah.
Big-time lacrosse, too.
Yeah,
so, yes.
Good program. Yeah, he now takes over on an interim basis. Maybe he's got a shot. I mean, Taz, you know this better than anybody, going through the recruiting trails with your son and everything.
Yep.
It's really, when you're looking at trying to keep guys in state, it's the connections that you have with programs, with other coaches. You have to cultivate those relationships.
Yep.
You have to try and convince guys to. So that's really what it comes down to. Schiano did a great job of that. Chris Ash did not.
No, but listen, you know, man. Look, Rutgers, I understand, like you said, they're not Georgia, they're not Alabama.
I'm not trying to knock them at that.
No,
I'm just talking about financially.
They got the money, Moose. They got the money to pay.
No, I get it. But they built a lot of buildings down there, Taz. They've spent a lot of money on
campus
stuff.
Is gorgeous.
No, the campus gorgeous. Is beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a huge chunk of change. Tell for Rutgers to give a guy almost $9 million to go away. It's a lot of money, Taz. I'm not saying they don't have the money.
But that's
a lot
why
of money.
I think that they got money. You know, they're going to have the money because to pay a guy like that is guaranteed deal to go away. That shows how much you want to be on the map to get a guy like Schiano in there.
That's true.
No knock on Coach Nunes, but I don't think he's the guy that you want to build a big program. He'll recruit the hell out of the state of New Jersey, Nunes. We know that because of his history with BC, with Bergen Catholic. For those people not in the Northeast, like, what are they talking about?
Well, right, Bergen
Catholic. You know what I'm talking about.
Right, it's a private Catholic school in northern New
really
Jersey.
Really good football program for
correct.
A long time. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, Taz, you're right. I would think that you make this decision and you know you have money to spend.
Right.
To play your program.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I just feel like they're giving that kind of money to add. cash to sit home. Man, wow. That's like...
Yeah, it's a nice...
I don't know. It's a lot.
Well, the team was just, in these big games past, were just non... And I'm not knocking the kids. It was just not competitive.
Yeah.
They lost 52-0 to Michigan on Saturday. And you got Harbaugh still throwing the football with his backup quarterback in the fourth quarter.
Well, he's trying to make a statement.
I mean, I mean, that's a tough one.
Yeah,
that's
a, it's a douche move.
I mean, well, he's still
throwing the football. Run the ball, coach.
No,
come on,
I agree with you. Well, yeah. they did it that one night down in Piscataway, and they scored 78 points.
Yeah,
and all they did was run.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, look, I don't care if you're trying to just keep winning and score points, but run the ball.
No,
let
I agree.
The clock run. And
don't
just,
disagree.
Just, yeah, don't do that.
Don't disagree.
It's not
so
right.
There you have it. The three here on this Monday morning. I hope Shiano gets it. It seems to be pointing that way, Taz. You know, we'll see. We'll see in terms of that when that decision does come down. But they got an interim coach the rest of the way as they get set to entertain Maryland on Saturday. Maryland, talk about Maryland. 59-0 Friday night.
I know. That's going to be an interesting game, Rutgers and the Terps.
Yes. We'll get to the Vikings. Do they have a quarterback issue? We'll touch upon that. We'll do that next. It's Taz and Moose here on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Sunday NFL on CBS features a full slate of games, including Brady and the Pats on the road in Washington. And the Ravens and Steelers are renewing their AFC North rivalry. Check your local listings for the game in your area. It all begins with JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line of 855-212-4227 is brought to you by our good friends at Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
Sit down in Jersey. Talk to our friend John online.
He is John. He is John. He is John from Jersey.
All right, behind. Go ahead. What's going on?
Taz, I'm not going to do that to you, brother. I told you it was going to be a good game.
It was. Defensive battle. How was it there? How was it in the stadium? How did it feel at the game?
It was insane here. The Buffalo fans are just in.
They're nuts.
Oh my God. They were so pumped up for a win. Again, I honestly didn't have any problem. I was with about maybe 15 people.
No.
Mostly were Bills fans. About 3 or 4 of us were Pats fans. At least jerseyed up as Pats fans.
Yeah.
And we really didn't have any problem.
Nobody said, hey, what's up there, douche? Nobody said like a little comment to you, a little snide.
Yeah, I mean, it was playful stuff, obviously. Right. Yeah, I mean,
feel like your life was in danger.
No. I mean, they had people walking around the parking lot dressed up in like prison jumpsuits with Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, my God.
Was going through tables, and they were setting Belichick dolls on fire. And it was... Brady, my God.
Just your typical routine pregame stuff.
Yes. But, I mean, the game was great. The Bills played their heart out. I thought there was, a couple plays that could have gone either way with the penalties. And, I mean, I don't know what it looked like on TV, what you guys talked about and the shows last night. That interception on the sidelines looked like it could have been
the
guy out of bounds had his hand on the ball.
Yeah, called it a rule. It's not an interception, but that's what happens. What was it like? I'm curious. In the stadium, the vibe when Josh Allen got nailed by Jones when he dropped, because initially it looked like he got knocked out cold. I mean, I'm sure it was a
gasp in the stadium that he got hurt.
Right.
But then it was like the anger toward the Pats and the Pats fans kind of ratcheted up, where it was knock Brady out, get him, or my God, look at that, kick him out of the game.
Yeah.
The guy that hit him.
Yep.
And I think they kind of, and it just seemed where the people around me were kind of, like, oh, God, with Barkley, we have no chance. But Barkley didn't really play that bad.
I didn't think he played that bad. Moose kind of thought he played bad. I don't want to put words in Mount Moose, but I felt like he played pretty good. I mean,
I just didn't think the Bills were going to win the game that when Barkley came in the game. And I'm like, listen, Allen threw 3 picks. But Allen's got this kind of like little knack in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he does.
To pull game, even as badly as he plays, to find a rhythm and to find a way to win, which is the most important thing when you look at NFL quarterbacks. And I just didn't think. I thought when push came to shove, I didn't think Barkley was going to score the find a way to put the ball in the end zone for the go ahead score. I just didn't.
Well, what I thought was going to happen is when Allen went back to the locker room again, he was waving to the fans and he pretty much sprinted back to the locker room.
Right.
And I'm just saying to my friends, wouldn't this be the storybook ending? And here comes, like, 2 minutes left. Allen comes running out of the tunnel, comes out on the field, and they go right down the field and win the game.
Yeah, it didn't happen. I wish that your story would have really happened.
And we did beat your team this week, and this week we got the Moose's team. And I'll be in Washington this week for the Pats and the Skins.
Don't worry, this week will be a lot easier for you guys, I promise.
Yeah, don't worry about this week. This week, you can play your scout team.
No. Hey, and also real quick, in addition to a Pats fan, I am a Rutgers fan too. Do you know the past, since 2014, when Rutgers has played Michigan and Ohio State, do you know that they've been outscored 527-60?
Yes.
Wow.
I witnessed all those games. Wow. Yes, it's been bad.
That's good. That's good, like, stats, the been in every one.
That's right.
Yeah. It's a tough one. You want Schiano back, John?
I'll take Schiano in a second. I love Schiano.
Yeah, he's a hell of a coach.
Yeah, he's a very good coach. And, yes, they've struggled.
All right, John, we got to let you go because Andrew's here and he wants you off the show.
No,
he
was talking about, you know, so John calls up. He's not rubbing salt in the wound.
He's a very courteous Pat fan. He's a professional fan. He gets it. No, he was good. I have no problem with that.
He closes it out with, even though he's a Rutgers fan, to basically stomping on the Scarlet Knights and says, waves goodbye.
Yeah, he did do that. Right. Yeah.
By the way, let me throw out how they've been absolutely just pummeled by Ohio State and Michigan. All right, have a good Monday, guys.
Take care.
Thank you.
I'll leave this here. I'll see you later.
What's going on, Bogus? How are you?
Oh, hey, Moose, Taz.
Yeah, hello.
America. Unfortunately for our good friend Boomer Esiason, he did not get to call yesterday's Vikings-Bears game.
That's so sad.
I felt so bad for him.
What is he going to do now?
Well, I started a GoFundMe page. If you guys want to, I'm going to give him like some kind of gift basket. I think
you're gonna give him a gift basket?
Condolences.
Nice. That's a good idea, Bogus.
Yeah, I thought so, right?
That is.
You know what I'm going to give him? Nothing. Okay, that's something to give him. Nothing.
This is Boomer Esiason.
Yeah, give him nothing. You know what? I saw him on TV yesterday. He looked annoyed. I saw him doing the on cameras in the studio.
He wanted to do the game.
Yeah, you're right.
He wanted to do the game.
He looked annoyed. He didn't want to deal with any of his friends in the studio, his fancy football TV friends. He looked ticked. I'm telling you. If I saw Boomer today, is he here today?
Yes. I don't think he is. I think he's a personal day.
Oh, he's off today.
Oh, he's got to recover.
No, he's here.
No, he's here today. I saw him today.
See, I'm so glad.
The joys and heartbreaks of sports.
Well, sounds so natural.
How could it be heartbreak? I mean, Romo just does what Romo does under pressure.
Romo just does what he wants.
Wow.
Wait, what do you mean? I missed that shot. Was there a shot
there? Oh, Moose.
And his golf
the
game.
Top turnbuckle. Oh.
Oh. What do you mean? Did anyone think that Romo was
Moose just got ejected for targeting?
Playing well down the stretch. Wow. He hit a shot. I was watching on the golf. He hit a shot. I think it was the ninth or tenth hole that – after I saw him hit the shot, I said, it's over. He's got no shot. He hit a ball. Yeah. He was in the rough.
Boomer unpacked his bag.
He was about 65 yards. He was about 65 yards off the green. Took about 25 practice swings and then hit the ball literally 20 yards.
Mm.
Went from turf, went from rough to rough. Yeah. It was a terrible shot. I go, there's no way he's making it. I mean, come on.
But back,
it's over.
Back to Boomer, though. Just think about this, though. How awkward. Everybody knows that you're the guy who's going to get this slot if Tony Romo advances. And Tony Romo doesn't advance, so now everybody knows you're not getting that spot. It's a tough look.
So you do feel bad for Boomer?
No, I think it's a humbling moment. I don't feel bad for anybody, okay? I'm a hard ass, so I have no sympathy for anybody. But except for the way Alabama handled Jalen Hurts. That's a whole other story. But anyway, I don't feel bad for Boomer. And I love Boomer. He's my friend, a close personal friend. But I will tell you this. He'll bounce back, Boomer. He'll be fine. I think it stinks, though, that it's like publicly known. Like, you got to wait to see. Like you just said, when you're watching Tony Romo play golf, I'm thinking, and Andrew's joking out, just Boomer emptied his bag, which he probably did. He probably canceled the charter plane and everything. But that probably all happened, and that's like. Just imagine everybody else is watching, wondering the same thing. Wow, is Tony Romo going to advance? Is Boomer going to take the jet plane?
Yeah,
to watch the. You know,
Bogus never thought it though. Give Bogus, he's got no shot. In terms of Romo.
Yeah.
So it's not happening.
I'm shocked he stayed in the 70s on Friday.
I'll be honest with you. Watching Romo on the golf course, I can't believe he was an NFL quarterback.
You guys keep getting into the logistics of the golf game. I'm trying to talk about the overview statements here that we're talking about.
No,
you're talking about you're breaking down the golf.
I'm not breaking down the golf. I'm just saying I watched Romo walk on the golf course. I can't believe he was an NFL quarterback.
Why? I didn't see it. What did he
do? Just does not look like I don't know. Like Boomer walks in and he looks like a quarterback. I don't know. Romo
like a stumble bum?
He just did not look like an athletic guy who was playing quarterback for the Cowboys. Yeah,
Boomer's very regal.
I'm not saying
Boomer's all regal.
Yeah.
He's all regal. Boomer's a star.
Yeah, he's the blonde hair.
He's got 6 foot nine.
His booming voice. Yeah, he's yelling. Everyone's like,
hey, Harris!
You're listening to CBS Sports Radio.
The other day, Romo, CBS denied him to do this before. The fact that he's in the final year of his contract, and they're looking to resign him,
that's
they okayed
news.
It this go around.
Wait, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was in the story. It was in the report on Friday.
Oh, I go, that's news. To me, it's breaking news.
I had no idea. It's a couple days old. I'm not breaking any news this morning.
It's old. It's day old bagels.
Right. CBS Sports Radio.
But it's something that we talked about at the time.
All right. Well, you know what? Good luck to everybody.
Well,
bogus.
Boomer just wiped his eyes with a $100 bill. Take it away, bogus.
That he probably stole from one of us.
Right, exactly.
So it was Romo in the booth when Mitchell Trubisky hurt his left shoulder yesterday. The Bears survived that, chased in a touchdown pass. The defense gave up next to nothing. They beat the Vikings 16-6. Only a few more points in the Superdome last night. The Saints gave the Cowboys their first loss, 12-10. Alvin Kamara, 89 scrimmage yards. Will Lutz, 4 field goals. Dak Prescott's Hail Mary intercepted to end the game. The Miami Dolphins didn't win yesterday, but at least they did this.
Throws it, good protection. Throws it down the sideline, wide open. And touchdown, Devontae Parker.
What a throw by Josh Rosen. Devontae Parker wide open. He dropped it in for touchdown.
That's something you don't hear much. What a throw by Josh Rosen.
Well, that's Jimmy Cefalo and his friends on Dolphins Radio.
Jimmy Cefalo.
It's September 29th yesterday, game 4. That was the first time the Dolphins led this season.
Wow.
It was late in the first quarter. It lasted for less than 4 minutes. The Chargers eventually won the game 30-10.
Unbelievable.
The Rams took their first loss, 55-40, to the Bucks in L.A. Jared Goff's 517 yards, the third most ever in a loss because he turned the ball over 4 times, including a fumble that Ndamukong Suh returned 37 yards for the knockout score with 106 to go. The Chiefs snuck out of Detroit 34-30. The Pats cooled off the Bills 16-10. The Raiders held off the Colts 31-24. And the Jaguars rallied for a 26-24 W in Denver. The Broncos led 17-3. They lose despite a 14-point lead at home for the first time since 2006. The Titans 24-10 winners in Atlanta. And the Giants took care of Washington 24-3. Rookie Dwayne Haskins picked off 3 times after replacing Case Keenum in the second.
I have a question. Giants, we have a lot of Giants fans here. What are we thinking? You're a Giants fan. Mike is. You guys, the honeymoon's over a little bit for Daniel Jones.
Happy? No, they're not going to lose again, I would think.
No. So, I mean, you happy with this?
Of course. I still think anyone that's
puffing up there. He had 2 interceptions yesterday. Right. It wasn't
I mean, the Giants tweeted last week a gif of somebody deleting their angry draft tweets and texts.
Yes.
I mean, I might want to give it an entire year.
What is that again?
The Giants have been very snarky.
Like going back to last April when you're sending angry tweets about drafting of Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Going back,
trolling their fan base.
Correct.
That's
going
smart.
Back and deleting it.
Yeah. That's good to do.
I mean, maybe play the entire season before you get snarky.
Yeah.
But
going at your fan base, the ones who pay the bills. That's
right.
A good move.
I mean, he's better than Eli at this point. Just because he can run.
Mike, you
and not
right.
Die
he can actually move. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
You happy?
Correct. Yeah, he had a nice third down play where he spun out of getting tackled and ran for the first down, and I was,
there's that. You just had a little glimpse right there, ladies and gentlemen, of Mikey B's play-by-play abilities. That was real good right there.
I actually stuttered a little bit, but thank you.
Oh, but speaking of play-by-play, how did everything go with the old Rams, the former?
I thought fairly well.
You did a good job?
Maybe.
I didn't get a chance to watch
That's
them.
Okay.
Sorry.
I didn't expect you to.
I didn't get a chance. Were you
watching the Rutgers game instead?
Yes,
no.
Rutgers,
no.
No, I wasn't watching. I was in the yard smoking a cigar.
52-0. Big Ten Network.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Early.
I was just wondering how that
the
went.
The early window.
The early
window. Let's get this out of the way.
The early. Stop. Andrew, come on. Don't kick them while they're down. Stop.
The guy who does play-by-play on the internet?
Go ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Moose. quickly to baseball, the St. Louis Cardinals.
I didn't know my mic was on. I didn't realize my mic was
on. The St. Louis Cardinals, the NL Central champs, a 9-0 win over the Cubs yesterday as the regular season ended. That sends the Brewers to the wild card game in Washington tomorrow night. Before that game, the Cubs announced that Joe Maddon is not returning as manager. Clint Hurdle fired in Pittsburgh, but GM Neil Huntington keeps his job. And of course, we all love soccer here. NYCFC clinching the top spot in MLS's Eastern Conference despite losing yesterday because the Philadelphia Union also lost.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Nice job, man.
I know Taz knew that, but not everybody else did.
I did not. Philadelphia sold, yep.
Nope, that's Arena League. Philadelphia Union.
Nope.
Okay. That's John Bon Jovi.
Pick that up in an edit. Thank you.
Yep, we'll fix that in a podcast.
Yep. See, already out.
I'm all obsessed with arena football.
We'll talk a little Viking football on the undercard. We'll get to that next. It's Taz and Moose here on this Monday morning right here at CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Bob down in Georgia. How screwed are the Vikings with Kirk Cousins at quarterback? Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. Where? O'Reilly Auto Parts. That's where. Better parts, better prices. Every day, impossible. His record now is just absolutely brutal. I think it's like 4-27 against teams above the 500 mark as a starting quarterback in the National Football League. I might even be giving him a little bit more credit than he deserves.
Yeah,
I mean, it is a brutal record. He struggled. I mean, the game in Lambeau, the game yesterday. I mean, to add insult to injury, Taz, you have a backup quarterback come in Chase Daniel for the Chicago Bears, and he plays pretty well for the Bears as they win the game. I mean, if you're Kirk Cousins, Mr. Guaranteed Money, and their offensive line struggled against Chicago, you've got to find a way. You are paid to make everyone around him better. That's what you're paid to do. His performance against good teams is horrendous.
Yeah, no, god-awful. I'll tell you who else is god-awful. Look, Dalvin Cook can run the rock. But good Lord, don't let him block in that backfield. Oh, my God. Okay. He got trucked more than once. I can't remember the linebacker's name on a blitz. Just full speed coming at you and just trucked Dalvin Cook. I mean, destroyed him. And Dalvin Cook saw him coming. That's a running back's job when you're in the pocket and you're blocking. You know, you do something called you break down. You break down. You see the guys coming. You break down for impact. You engage. Oh, Lord, this kid just trucked him. I'm trying to remember the guy's name. I think it was Nick Kata. I think that's who it was. It was one of the backup linebackers. But anyway,
I didn't see the play.
Oh, it was unbelievable. You'll find it online. But anyway, the Bears' defense is amazing. That doesn't help the situation here for the good old Kirk Cousins. You know, that doesn't help at all. But, yeah, I've never been a big fan of Cousins at all. He threw for over 230 yards, but he protected the ball, so that's good.
Yeah, he did, but
He was
brought there to be the guy that puts that franchise over the top. And he's not, you know, Taz, and sometimes it's between the ears. I mean, because physically he could throw the football, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know he's a smart guy. I mean, the Shanahans love him, adored him. He coming out of Michigan State, he's one of the leaders of that program, has had success here in the National Football League. But there are some guys when the pressure's on and pressure starts to mount, they have a tendency to really underperform, and Cousins just underperforms with some of his decisions. I think the game in Green Bay against the Packers was different and was worse than yesterday because the Bears' defense is ridiculously good, but you've got to find a way to do something offensively.
Yeah.
And the Bears' defense is really good. This is not the 85 Bears, though.
No, but they are really good, Taz.
I mean, but you've got Cook, you've got Thielen, you've got Stephon Diggs. You've got two good tight ends. The rookie Irv Smith too. Throw him in to the mix, Taz. You've got enough weapons to do something of significance offensively.
You're right. It's like I said earlier about the Dallas Cowboys last night too against the Saints. You got a running back like Zeke Elliott. And you can't win just time of possession, which is vital in the game, as you know.
Yep.
Same thing happened with the Vikings.
Good point.
You got Dalvin Cook, and you I'm looking at time possession. The Bears had the ball for had possession for 35 minutes, where the Vikings had it for 24 minutes. That's a big difference.
That is a big difference.
It's a big difference in a football game. No, you got a running back like Dalvin Cook. Come on. You
know? Well, that is a significant difference. Is now the Vikings take on the Giants in their next game. And watch Kirk Cousins. He'll play very, very well
probably.
In that game.
Probably
light
will.
Up that giant defense.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
You probably
that.
Will.
You're probably right. I think you might be right.
But we'll see. We'll see. So there you have it. Yes, if you're a Viking fan, yes, you are concerned about your quarterback.
Wait a second. They're playing that. That's in Jersey. They're
correct.
Playing, yeah, they're playing in Jersey. Yeah.
Yes, that is in Jersey. Correct.
See, I won't say New York. That's
no,
my thing.
I know. Buffalo's only New York's
only
still
a New
team.
York team.
Yes, I know.
It's been established.
Jets and yes. No, thank you, Josh Allen.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, Josh Allen, I don't even know where he is right now.
Well, he doesn't.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
yeah,
he was. Yeah.
Josh, no, I'm not even going to. Hopefully he's okay.
He should be okay.
Right.
I hope he's okay.
Hopefully
yeah.
it's okay.
I know.
Here we go. The undercard.
Taz and the Moose present The Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
I don't know, Mike. There's been a lot covered in this episode.
What do we got, Michael?
Let's see what you got.
All right, I'll see if I can find something
here. All right,
buddy.
So
the Cleveland Browns are now in first place in the AFC North, which is crazy to say out loud. They defeated the Ravens yesterday. Baker Mayfield was asked if Rex Ryan deserves any of the credit for the Browns' win.
Absolutely not. Rex Ryan does not give any credit for this week's win. No.
Are these two ever going to go away, or is the feud going to continue?
Well, my opinion, Baker Mayfield, you can see he's a grudge holder. And I am a fellow grudge holder. So I understand when I see a grudge holder. And that's what Baker Mayfield is. He's going to hold a grudge against Rex Ryan for a long time.
Yes.
And that's going to stay with him for a long time. Where Rex Ryan, I think, has just moved on. I mean, so he made his comments yesterday in the pregame, Rex Ryan did. Ripped the kid again, and which is pretty funny to see. But yeah, no, I think that I don't think it's ever going to go away. I think Baker's going to stay with this forever.
I think it's going to hang for a while. I do.
Yeah.
I think people are going to ask about it. I'm sure Rex is going to continue to ask about it because now it's kind of going to be take the temperature of the Browns and Mayfield according to Rex Ryan every week.
The difference is Rex Ryan is already handling it better than Baker Mayfield's course of maturity. I mean, Rex Ryan has done some silly things as a head coach. We know that. Footsie Jones. But no, the thing is, though, like
he's got a foot fetish.
Exactly. But the thing is, he's much more mature. He should be. He's a lot older than Baker Mayfield, and he's much more seasoned, so he's going to handle it better. Just by, like we talked about earlier, just by showing up in studio live on TV, on pregame, wearing a brown suit with an orange
tie. Funny.
That's funny. It's trolling, but it's still funny by Rex Ryan. He's being self-deprecating. He's like, I'll play along with the joke. I don't have anyone's colors while I'm wearing brown and red orange now, you know. So I thought
it was a good
thing.
I agree with you. I agree. And it's the first time in a while that Rex has actually cut through. So it was a good thing as well, too.
Yeah,
because, you know, he grabbed some headlines, which is something that he's trying to do now as a member of the media.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
Oh!
What did you make of Kyle Allen's performance with the Panthers?
Kyle Allen, I thought he played well. I mean, he's got to hold on to the football. But aside from that, listen, Panthers won a very, very good road game down in Houston. Defense played well. Wasn't as electric as he was the previous week in Arizona.
Right. No. Kyle Allen definitely a hell of a player. Just a little thrown off. Tell you later on. Has nothing to do with you. But anyway. Yeah. You look great, Kyle Allen, no doubt. It's a great show today.
Very good show. Enjoyed it. Our thanks to Shep, Mike, Pete across the way, Bogish with your updates. 855-212-4CBS. That is your number to call always. Check out the podcast, radio.com, Apple Podcast, Stitcher as well. Taz, enjoy your Monday, bud. Thank you.
Sorry. Yes, you too, Moose. Thank you.
All right, peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.